We're starting at Madhya Lila, chapter 9, text number 147. And the chapter is entitled, Lord Chaitanya's Travels to the Holy Places. And the first verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna attracts the mind of the Goddess of Fortune, but Lord Narayan cannot attract the minds of the gopis. This proves the super excellent of Krishna. Proves to whom? This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Venkata Bhatta. He's in South India, in the land of Ramanujacharya, and he's staying at the house of a great scholar named Venkata Bhatta, who's a worshipper of Lakshmi and Narayan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a very light-hearted or even humorous way, as mentioned here, but assertive nonetheless, is mentioning the superior quality of Radha and Krishna over Lakshmi and Narayan, although at the same time saying they're the same person. And this is a somewhat of a mystery. So he's speaking to Venkata Bhatta and he's making this argument. Well, he's quoting what Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, Venkata Bhatta has said earlier, and that is a verse that's well known and has been well known for many decades, millennia perhaps. That was also then included in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and that is that Lord Narayan and Lord Krishna are the same person. No difference, but there is. And then he says in text number 148, to say nothing of Lord Narayan personally, Lord Krishna himself appeared as Narayan just to play a joke on the gopis. Although Krishna assumed the four-armed form of Narayan, he could not attract the serious attention of the gopis in ecstatic love. The translation is, and this is from the Lalita Madhava Nataka, once Lord Sri Krishna playfully manifested himself as Narayan with four victorious hands and a very beautiful form. When the gopis saw this exalted form, however, their ecstatic feelings were crippled. A learned scholar, therefore, cannot understand the gopis' ecstatic feelings, which are firmly fixed upon the original forms of Lord Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj. The wonderful feelings of the gopis in ecstatic paramarasa with Krishna constitute the greatest mystery in spiritual life. That's what we're talking about, the mystery of it, right? Would you like to hear it again? Okay, who said yes? Okay, everyone else, cover your ears. Once Lord Sri Krishna playfully manifested himself as Narayan, which is an interesting contrast in any case, because Narayan represents this sense of awe and reverence and opulence. And now he's being playful about it in Vrindavan with the gopis. So there's a contrast here that's very interesting. With four victorious hands and a very beautiful form. When the gopis saw this exalted form, however, their ecstatic feelings were crippled. A learned scholar, therefore, cannot understand the gopis' ecstatic feelings, which are firmly fixed upon the original form of Lord Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj. The wonderful feelings of the gopis in ecstatic paramarasa with Krishna constitute the greatest mystery in spiritual life. And of course, it's that mystery that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to reveal to the world. Anarpita charim chirat karana yavatirna kalau samarpayitum natojvala rasam sapakti shriyam. In the age of Kali, he's bringing something amidst the darkness of the age of Kali and revealing the highest spiritual treasure of the mood of this intimacy of the spirit, of the topmost planet in the spiritual world. Meanwhile, just keep in mind, this is all in the context that Lakshmi and Narayan and Radha Krishna are same, no difference. Purport, this is a verse spoken by Narada Muni in the Lalita Madhava Nataka 614, a drama written by Srila Rupa Goswami. Text 151. Everyone okay so far? Eta kahi prabhu tar garva churna koriya. Tare shukadite kahe siddhanta piraya. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deflated the pride of Venkatapata. But just to make him happy again, he spoke as follows. Text 152. Dhukana bhaviha bhatta kailun parihas shastra siddhanto shunha jate vaishnav bishvas. The Lord pacified Venkatabhata by saying, actually, whatever I have said is by way of jest. Now you can hear from me the conclusion of the Shastras in which every Vaishnav devotee has firm faith. 153. Krishna Narayana Jaiche Ako I Sarup Gopi Lakshmi Bheda Nahi Hoi Ak Rup. There is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Narayan, for they are on the same platform. Similarly, there is no difference between the gopis and the goddess of fortune, for they are also of the same form. We good so far? 154. Gopi dware Lakshmi kare Krishna Sanghasara Ishvaretve Bhedo Manila Hoy Aparado. The goddess of fortune enjoys the association of Krishna through the gopis. One should not differentiate between the forms of the Lord, for such conception is offensive. Meanwhile, that's practically all we do. 155. Ek Ishvar Bhaktira Dhyan Anurup Ek I Vigrahe Kare Nana Kara Rup. There is no difference between the transcendental forms of the Lord. Different forms are manifested due to different attachments of different devotees. Actually, the Lord is one, but he appears in different forms just to satisfy his devotees. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the Brahma Sanghita 533, it is stated, Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam, Adyam Purana, Purusham, Navayauvanam Cha. The Lord is Advaita without differentiation. There is no difference between the forms of Krishna, Rama, Narayan, and Vishnu. All of them are one. Sometimes foolish people ask whether when we chant Rama, in the Hare Krishna mantra, we refer to Lord Ramachandra or Lord Balaram. If a devotee says that the name Rama in the Hare Krishna mantra refers to Balaram, a foolish person may become angry because to him the name Rama refers to Lord Ramachandra. Actually, there is no difference between Balaram and Lord Rama. It does not matter whether one refers to Balaram or to Lord Ramachandra when chanting Hare Rama. Everyone say Hare Rama. Hare Rama. For there is no difference between them. However, it is offensive to think that Balaram is superior to Lord Ramachandra or vice versa. Neophyte devotees do not understand this Shastric conclusion, and consequently they unnecessarily create an offensive situation. In text 154, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clarified this in a very lucid way. Ishvare dve bhed Manile hoy aparad. It is offensive for one to differentiate between the forms of the Lord. On the other hand, one should not think that the forms of the Lord are the same as the forms of the demigods. This is certainly offensive, as confirmed in the Vaishnava Tantra. Yastu narayanam devam brahmarudrajidaivatai samatvenaiva viksheta sapashandi bhavedruvam. A Pashandi is one who considers the great demigods such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva equal to the Supreme Personality of God and Narayan from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. The conclusion is that we should neither differentiate between the forms of the Lord nor equate the forms of the Lord with the forms of the demigods or human beings. For instance, sometimes foolish sannyasis, thinking the body of the Lord to be material, equate Rudra Narayan with Narayan, and this is certainly offensive. Unless one is instructed by a bona fide spiritual master, he cannot perfectly understand these different forms. The Brahma Samhita confirms Vedeshu Dhulabham Adulabham Atma Bhaktau. One cannot understand the differences between the forms of the Lord simply by academic study or by reading Vedic literature. One must learn from a realized devotee. Only then can one learn how to distinguish between one form of the Lord and another. I'll read that sentence again because, again, the contrast is strong. We're hearing same, same, and now we're saying, you have to understand the differences properly. Prabhupada writes, one cannot understand the differences between the forms of the Lord simply by academic study or by reading Vedic literature. One must learn from a realized devotee. Only then can one learn how to distinguish between one form of the Lord and another. The conclusion is that there's no difference between the forms of the Lord, but there is a difference between his forms and those of the demigods. Nama Shreshtam Manamapi Shachiputra Matra Swarupam Shirupam Tasyagrajam Uruparim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram Mahoradika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratitikripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi He Guru Gyanada Dinabando Swanandadata Kuranaika Sindo Vrindavana Sinahitavatar Prasida Radha Pranaya Prajaro Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's way of coming to teach about bhakti, there is a bias. There's a bhakti bias in the idea of the Lord being homogeneously one. There's an aversion to bias because of having rejected the idea of variety. This is a mistake because, as Krishna says, even in the Bhagavad Gita, in describing the difference between the material and spiritual worlds, Urdhva mula madashakam ashvatam prahur avyayam chandamsi yasya parnani yastam beda savedavit adashchordvam prashitatashat saka guna pravida vishaya prabala adashcha mulan anusantatani karmanubhanini manushaloke narupam asyeha tatopa labhyatena antona chadirna chasampratishta ashvatamenam savarudam vulam asanga shastrena jidhena chitva tatakpadam tat parimargitavyam yasmin gatana nirvartanti buya tameva chadyam purusham prapadyeya tat praviti prashrita purani. Which means that the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, and the spiritual world is full of variety. Variety means that there's some sense of hierarchy also. Even in the aesthetic of the spiritual world, there's perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. As we know from the descriptions of the meditation points for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that there's Mathura, there's Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan, which are perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. Based on what? Based on the fact that the most uninhibited love takes place in the highest realm of the spiritual world. And this goes to a sense in which position covers personality. Prabhupada told a story about a prime minister in the UK. And he was a prime minister under Queen Victoria. His name was Gladstone. Do you remember him? You do? No? I guess it was some time ago. And an important person, a dignitary, went to meet with Prime Minister Gladstone in his office. He had an appointment, but when he arrived there, the secretary said, he's occupied now. Please wait. Well, the dignitary waited a long time. Secretary walked out of the room, and the visitor noticed that the door was a little bit ajar. So, out of a sense of slight impatience and also curiosity, he went to the door to see what the prime minister was doing. And when he looked in, he saw that the prime minister had become a horse for his grandson. And his grandson was riding on the prime minister's back. Go faster, go left, go right. And Prabhupada explains this as a peek into the pastimes of Krishna in his most intimate realm of Vrindavan. And as mentioned in the verse, Anarpita Charim Chirat Karana Yavatirna Kalao Samarpayituna Tojo Rasam Subhaktir Shriyam, and explicated further by Kaviraj Goswami, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's main purpose was to reveal the mood in Vrindavan where Krishna becomes subordinate to his devotees. And there's an intimate exchange. Whereas in other places, by contrast, Kaviraj Goswami says, for instance, in Vaikuntha, where the Lord has a position, he's the supreme controller, and he has victorious hands, as we heard there. There's a sense of grandeur there, the all-powerful God. And there, because of the position that he's manifesting, or that's obvious, the residents don't have that sense of intimacy with him. Whereas in Vrindavan, we hear about how when the residents were moving away to Gokula because they were being harassed by demons, and they joyfully put all their possessions on wagons, and the gopis, elderly gopis, were sitting with Krishna, who was a baby at the time, and they were proceeding along. They were encouraging him, you please dance, and we'll give you half a sweetmeat. You dance, Krishna. Here's the supreme Narayan. Same. Krishna and Narayan are the same, right? But here in Vrindavan, there's a sense where they're saying, you dance for us and we'll give you half this sweetmeat. So, in Vrindavan is described, Maya Mrigam Dayite Yetsitam Anvadavan, as mentioned by Karabhajana Muni in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when he gives a verse that describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramachandra, and Lord Krishna, as explained by Jiva Goswami. Maya Mrigam means that Krishna becomes like a plaything in the hands of the residents of Vrindavan because he's so enamored of their love. And one of the other important aspects of this teaching that we're hearing today, Lord Chaitanya to Venkatabhata, is we are our love. Where our love goes, that's our identity. In fact, in a very basic way, Krishna describes this, or tells Arjuna and all of us in the Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tajat yanti kalevaram tam tam evaiti kunteya saratad bhava bhavita, that you're going to become whatever you love. When in the juncture between leaving this present gross physical body, the love for whatever you have, whatever your love is for, your bhava, whatever emotion you have and attachment you have, your main love, loving attachment, will carry you to your next situation. So in that sense, when we look at the body, as Patanjali Muni says in the Yoga Sutras, the next life that we get after this one is a filling in of our desires. We have predominant desires and it gets filled in just the way if you saw wet footprints on the sand and then you filled them in with some plaster of Paris, you'd get a perfect impression of your foot. So the body we have now is an impression of our love from our last life. And therefore, the refinement of that love and directing it to the ultimate object of love is, in a basic way, the principle of bhakti yoga. And then what are the details of that love? Well, first of all, there's this contrast. There's the idea that Krishna is the same, and he simply expands himself. Departure eva hida shantanama bipeta dipayate vrvatehetu samana dharma. Yes tadrage vahicha vishnu chaya vipati govindamari purusham tam ham bhajami. In the Brahma Sanghita, Brahma says there's one candle, one deep, and then it lights many other candles. And it's the same in its quality and potency, but there is one original candle. And then we hear about the expansions of Krishna, even in the Mangalacharna to the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a description after we hear of the external and internal purposes that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the world. I mentioned one of the external reasons, which is to teach everyone about the topmost love that one can have for Krishna in the spiritual world, anarpita chirim chirat, and the internal reasons, Radha Krishna pranaya vikriti haladini shakti rasmat, and Shri Radhaya pranaya mahima kidrisho vanayaiva, that God is exploring his own loving, the love of his devotees, and the topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani. And then he's mentioned Shankarshana Karana Toa Shai, Garbhuda Shai, Chapayobdi Shai, Sheshashti Yashyamsha, Kalasa Nitya Nandakya Rama Sharanam Mamastu. He starts talking about how the Lord expands himself unlimitedly. And why does he do that? In a very basic way, which I keep saying. Eko Bahusham, the Vedas declare that the one has expanded himself for his own enjoyment into many. And so the first expansion of Krishna, non-different from Krishna, only just a different color and attitude. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Balaram has the mood of a servitor, and then he expands himself into the Chaturvyuha. There's a way in which the Purushas then expand the material world. There's a way in which the Jivas expand from the Purusha. And all of the emanations from Krishna and all the expansions are meant to engage in his service. And they covet that service. Balaram expands the spiritual world. He becomes, he manifests the unlimited jivas. And then he also becomes shesha, who means the remainder. Means if there's any service left over after he's covered everything in the spiritual world and in the material world, it's like he's there. If you've got anything else, I'll take that too. The mood of service. And at the same time, they're all one. One personality, as mentioned in the Bhagavatam, Vadanti tat tat favidas tat fam yaj gyanam advayam prameti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shamdyate. The one supreme absolute truth is in three tattvas, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And as in the third verse of the Mangalacharan and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Kaviraj Goswami explains how that one is expanded into Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, and that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself. So the one becomes many, and there's simultaneous oneness and difference. And in the pursuit of happiness and of the highest truth, Krishna points out, going back to what I said earlier, the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. There is variety. So, what's the differentiation? The idea behind the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that although Krishna is one, and he divides into several features, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, and although the features of Bhagavan, they're all Krishna, at the same time, there's a difference in relationship between Krishna and his eternal parts and parcels, his devotees. And this is where the details come in about the relationship between Krishna and his devotees, and why Krishna manifests himself in various forms to reciprocate their various kinds of love. In the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, after Shukadeva Goswami speaks to Parikshit Maharaj, the entire Bhagavatam, there's a little time left over before the snake bird comes. And his mother, Parikshit's mother, Uttara, approaches him because apparently she didn't have front row seats and couldn't hear everything. And she wanted to know the essence of what he just taught, what he just heard from Shukadev. And she surmises that because there are various moods of devotees, there must be a place where there's a sense of unfettered love. She surmises this, and Parikshit Maharaj becomes very pleased, and he then speaks the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which is the essence of the Bhagavatam, the 18,000 verses that Shukadeva has just spoken. And it's leading both parts of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita to the highest realm of the spiritual world, where indeed the devotees do have a special loving sentiment for Krishna. And Krishna reciprocates that love in Goloka, in Vrindavan, and even more so in Boma Vrindavan on the earthly planet, where he takes on a very human-like feature, so that there's no separation or sense of godhood whatsoever. And this is the essence of what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach, and there's many more details of that, but rather than go on, I've made a few main points. One is that the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. That means there's variety in the spiritual world. Variety means that there's a hierarchy even in aesthetics, appreciating that there are higher and lower, perfect, more perfect, and most perfect in the spiritual world. And that I mentioned we are our love. Where our affection and love goes, that's how we're defined, ultimately. And not only defined, but that's the kind of environment we'll end up in, that we're carried by our love, by our attraction. And I said that position covers personality. And I would just extend that to say that in the spiritual world, Krishna's at home. He's not exerting himself in any position. Once somebody asked Prabhupada why Krishna plays a flute, and Prabhupada said, because he's all play and no work. Nothing to do. There's no job to do. And even in Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes on to explain to Sanatan Goswami that even in Vrindavan, it's not Krishna who kills the demons, it's Vasudev within Krishna. And Krishna has really nothing to do except loving exchanges with his devotees and playing his flute and so on. So those are a few thoughts, a preamble, albeit rambling, we have before us. And now let's have a few pointed questions based on what we read in the purports and verses, and on the monologue to try to expand it and go deeper into the subject matter. So ask a good question. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna. So Krishna doesn't personally kill the demons, but you know expands into his Vasudev form. Is that because he doesn't really want to punish because he's kind, or why does he do that? Why does he just let someone else do it? Does he not like to sport in that way?
It's a different mood. It has to do with the moods of Krishna and the mood of trouncing a big demon, pounding his head in. It's a little different than the mood of sweetness in Vrindavan. Although we have to keep in mind that there is no difference. Krishna is always Krishna, and Krishna and Narayan are the same. It's just a matter of the mood of Krishna in different times and places.
And I have a follow-up yes. question. So is a form like Nrsimhadev, Lord Nrsimhadev, also an expanded through Narayan? Vasudev, like Balaram?
Yeah, good question. So Krishna expands himself into unlimited forms. Ramadi muti shukala niyamena tishtan na navataram akarod bhuvaneshu kintu Krishna swayam samabhavat paramapumanyo govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. This is mentioned by Brahma in the Brahma Samhita. And all of those forms are expansions of Krishna in different moods, and they come at different times. Now, Lord Nrsimhadev is a very specific form of Krishna who's responding to the love of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj has unflinching faith and love in the Lord in a certain mood. And when Lord Nrsimhadev comes, he's specifically coming to protect his devotee and to reciprocate his form of devotion. So it's Krishna, but he's in an angry mood. How angry is he? So angry that Lakshmi Devi, who's his husband, doesn't recognize him. When Lord Nrsimhadev appears, she's like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, no. I don't know. Is this my husband or not? It's like she's a little standoffish about it. Everybody is, all the devas, even they offer prayers, and they're a little afraid even as they're doing it. And finally they give up and they say, Prahlad, he came for you. And they push him in. They said, you try. And even Prahlad then says, Manye dana bijana rupa tapasutojas teja pravava balapodushapudi yoga. He starts saying that all the demigods, they tried. They have all these beautiful qualities. They're exalted in all different ways. They know Sanskrit. They're from high families. They couldn't please the Lord. And then he remembers Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. Well, Gajendra offered prayers once, and he's an elephant, so if he can do it, he can please the Lord with simple, sincere devotion. Maybe I can too. So then Prahlad offers his prayers to the Lord and says that, I'm not afraid of you. Everyone else is afraid of you. I'm not afraid. He said that what I'm afraid of is your Vishnu Maya. So it's a specific aspect of the Supreme who comes to enjoy a kind of reciprocation with a particular devotee. And that's how the different forms of the Lord come and manifest in the world. And just another footnote about Lord Nrsimhadev. He's there in Krishna's Leela. Sometimes people think, well, you're all worshiping Radha Krishna on the same altar, or nearby you have Lord Nrsimhadev. How can you do that? He's a Vaikuntha deity, different moods. It's probably Rasa Basa and so forth. And they may even not worship Lord Nrsimhadev purposefully. However, we find that Lord Nrsimhadev shows up in various parts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, and in the Sankirtan Leela he shows up and chastises the Kazi and so forth. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a great devotee named Nrsinga Nanda Brahmachari, who's Ishtadeva is Lord Nrsimhadeva. Sridhar Swami, who's the most respected by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of all the Bhagavatam commentators, his Ishtadeva was Lord Nrsimhadeva. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings about how Lord Nrsimhadeva in Navadvip, as he takes shelter of him, may he place his hand upon my head and usher me into the worship, the pure worship of Radha Krishna. So there are ways in which Lord Nrsimhadeva, a different mood, he's Krishna, but he comes in an angry mood to chastise Hiranyakashipu, who has offended the pure devotee, Prahlad. But he appears in many other places, strategically placed to enhance the mood of devotees, even in Navadvip or in their worship of Radha and Krishna, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Maybe more information than you wanted. Another question? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you. I just had one quick question. I was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita recently about Sanatana Goswami Shiksha, Lord Chaitanya speaking to Sanatana Goswami. There, Lord Chaitanya mentions about the different Avesh avatars. I was a bit surprised that Ananta Shesh was also included among them. Are these Avesh avatars also Vishnu murtis, like they're different from us? Or because among the Avesh avatars also feature Narada, Narad Muni, and the four Kumaras. I mean, even Arshila Prabhupada is known as Shaktivesh Avatara. So I was wanting to understand, are they Vishnu Murtis, whom we worship and revere, or are they also Yatmas, or are they the spiritual master who's both?
Yeah. The Avesh Avatars are empowered by Krishna for very specific purposes. And do we worship them? Very much so, as is mentioned by Lord Shiva, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasmat Paratanam Devi Tariyanam Samarjana. There's a way in which those empowered representatives of Krishna are the most worshipable. They're the tadiya, or the paraphernalia of Krishna, and they're very dear to Krishna. In fact, Prabhupada gave the principle, love me, love my dog. If you're walking somewhere in Harrow, how do you say it? Harrow. And you meet somebody walking their dog. If you walk up to them, a stranger, and say, hi, how are you? They'll say, what are you, a murderer? And however, if you come up as you walk by, you say, nice dog. They'll say, oh, well, thank you. What breed is he? And you'll get a whole lecture. So in a similar way, Krishna has the most access through his devotees, as was mentioned by Yudhishthir to Vidura. He said, Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani Swantakstena Gadabrita, that you are a walking place, a walking tirtha, holy place. Tirtha means a bridge to the higher realm. And devotees have something that even Krishna doesn't have, which is love of Krishna. That's one of the reasons he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to experience that. So those who are empowered by Krishna. And as far as the particulars of the Avesh incarnations and the various categories considered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can read the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. In the Laghu Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami, especially the first part of the book, I would even say is tedious. I mean, when you hear the teachings as you're studying now, obviously the Sanatana Shiksha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pedantically goes through all the combinations of ways in which Narayan holds his weapons. It's a good for a statistics class or something, like how do you memorize all the different positions he's holding them, and who are the different names. Like when we put on Tilak, we're saying the names of the expansions of the Chaturvyuha in different ways. And he goes into detail about the particulars and gives evidence from various shastras about the Avesh avatars, the Manvantara avatars, the Leela avatars, the Guna avatars, and so forth, and talks about how all this is supported in the Shastra, because this is part of the job of the Acharyas and the Six Goswamis, Nana, Shastra, Vichara, Naika, Nipuno. They tie up all the loose ends in that, so we can have clear categorical knowledge of the various expansions of Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you. Just on your last point, it's quite interesting in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when they go through the ways the conch and club are held, when you look at the list, you find that there's 23 combinations, because one combination is repeated twice and one combination is omitted. So I'm wondering, should we just take that to be and is it even in the Bengali it's like that, should we take that as like some kind of error in the scripture that's been kind of passed down, or should we actually think that there's one combination is never, no Vishnu form has it, whereas one combination, there's two forms with it?
Are you a statistics major?
Yeah.
Yes?
Mathematics.
Mathematics, yeah. I figured as much. So I would refer to the Lagu Bhagavatamrita for these types of very technical details. Read the whole thing, and then see, you'll see that Rupa Goswami went to great lengths to make sure that's all clarified for all the mathematics majors in the world. And for linguistics majors, you'll find the at the very end of the Tattva Sandarbha, there's just a extremely detailed description of how the language of the Shastra works, how it's broken down into various parts of speech and so forth, and how it is that spiritual sound vibration can be transmitted through the material atmosphere and so forth. One, nothing from this side? Work with me. Okay, one, two, three. You have the mic? Did you? Okay, go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much.
Possession is 9/10 of the law. I think we have 5 minutes left, if I'm not incorrect. Is that right? 10, 11, that's a lot. Okay, go ahead.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Prabhu, for a wonderful class. Just to clarify, as you read in the scripture, we shouldn't see any difference between Krishna and Vishnu, yet there is a difference between Krishna and Vishnu, and it's also an aprad to see the difference. But when we come in front of the deities, or even before that, you also mentioned in Ayodhya, Krishna is worshipped with awe and reverence. In Vrindavan, it's more loving exchanges with his devotees, which is more loving relationship. But when we come in front of the devotees, the deities, or the Lord, how should we see the Lord? With awe and reverence, with the loving exchanges that he has with his Vrindavan devotees, or is it something that gradually, as we advance in Krishna consciousness, we get to see the Lord in a different way?
Yes. Well, this is the progression of our bhakti, which is anukramishriti. It comes step by step. As we know, satam prasangam amavirya sambido bhavanti hritkarna rasayana kata taj joshanad ashwapavargavartmani shradaratir bhakti anukramishriti. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, krame krame, one advances from the position of a kanishya adhikari to a uttama adhikari by the process of chanting Hare Krishna and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And anukramishriti means shraddha, from shraddha to rati, which means ruchi, and bhakti, which means prema. And there's this step-by-step advancement. This is the potentiality of sadhana bhakti, as Rupa Goswami says in the Bhakti Rasamrita, sindhu kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava sa sadhana bida nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam hridi sadhyata. Within the heart, we have the eternal propensity to love Krishna. And the potentiality of sadhana bhakti, or practicing devotional service as we're doing, awakens that potentiality fully. Prakatyam Hridi Sadhyata will become awakened by sadhana bhakti. So what kind of sadhana bhakti are we practicing? According to Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbha, we're practicing, at least most people are practicing what's called ajata ruchi sadhana bhakti, which means that before we have intense greed for worshipping Krishna, which is the prerequisite for bhava bhakti, that there's this, as it's mentioned in the in the discussion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Sanatana Goswami, he gives the verse bhakti ras bhavito mathi Krishna bhakti ras bhavito mathi kriyatid kriyatam yadi kritopi labdite tatalolyam api mulyam ekalam janmakoti sukritirna labdite, that the price for bhakti proper, the highest form of bhakti, is one's intense desire to have it. In fact, it's called lalyam, or sometimes translated as greed, an intense desire to have it. And so when we practice sadhana bhakti, it begins when we approach the deities, we're worshipping them with rules and regulations in sadhana bhakti. And that's in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. Even though we're worshipping Radha and Krishna, Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Devotion, our mood is we're following the Shastra, we're following the Padatis. It's not that we come in and lie on the ground and then we get up a minute later and we offer Krishna a flower, or, you know, we eat off his plate. In Vrindavan, it's completely spontaneous or unceremonial love. When Krishna's with his cowherd boyfriends, for instance, after killing Agasura, they're taking... Krishna's, first of all, eating with his left hand. That's one of the reasons Brahma was looking and goes, that's God? Because Brahma's known as Vidhi. You get to be Brahma after 100 lifetimes of perfectly following the Varnashrama. So then he sees these kids playing and they're like taking food out of each other's mouth and Krishna's eating with his left hand and he goes like, what? We'll test this out. So that's spontaneous in Vrindavan. A good friend of mine who has lived in Vrindavan for many years said he was doing a project there and he got invited to somebody's house to have prasadam, and on their altar, they just have Giriraj, and then the lady of the house brought forward the plate, and she'll put it on the altar, say, eat! Lala, eat, eat! You know, like, there's a different mood there. Mahaprabhu mentioned that when one of his devotees came to Vrindavan, he said, don't mix with you won't understand their mood, it's different. So we approach the deity according to the rules and regulations of the Padatis, and we worship them in this ajata ruchi sadhana bhakti. So what we're doing actually is raga anuga. We're following in the footsteps of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami in their feature of the way they appeared in this world, not in their eternal forms, in their nitya lila in the spiritual world as manjaris. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur established this. It was a great debate that some people were saying, no, we have to follow them as they are in the spiritual world. And he established shastrically how we as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu follow Rupa and Sanatan in the way that they conducted themselves in this world. They were very strict sadhakas. Sankhya, Purvakanam, Agana, Natibi, Kalavasani, Krito. They followed, practiced very strictly the rules and regulations of bhakti. But what are we doing? We're actually worshipping Radha Krishna. So kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhavasa sadhanabhida. There's a way in which by following strictly the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti, then gradually there's an awakening of spontaneity in the heart of the devotee. And that thickens and it brings out the potentiality. Even, however, when we do develop this spontaneous attraction for Krishna, externally, we still follow all the strict rules and regulations. Get up early, take bath, come to Mangal Arati, ring the bell, bow down, and so forth. Anyway, there's a longer discussion in that, but just to summarize, what should we do? That's what Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Instruction, Tanama Rupa Charitari Kirtananu Smrityo Kramina Rasanam Manasini Yoja Tishtan Vraje Tanama Ragi Jananugami Kalam Nayeda Kilam Itubadesha Saram. And that is that the essence of all advice is that we should nicely practice devotional service, especially hearing in the association of devotees, and then naturally will come to be spontaneously attracted to a particular devotee in Vrindavan. This is the path we're on of Raghanuga Bhakti, that we will develop an appreciation for the devotional service of somebody like Yashoda or Raktak or Sridham or some of the gopi followers of Krishna, and then that is cultivated by hearing even more in that mood. And you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in the Gambhira in the last stages of life, it was all cultivation by hearing. Ramananda Roy and Sarup Damodar would sing to him from the books of Chandidas and from Srimad Bhagavatam various songs about particular leelas that would attract his attention. And it's, anyway, try to keep my answer short. Too late now. Okay, somebody else had a question. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the class. I wanted to ask, you were mentioning that Narasimhadev appeared in reciprocation to Prahlad Maharaj. It was like he appeared especially reciprocating with him as an individual. And you're talking about how we're all variegated and we're all different. So obviously we're not on the level of Prahlad Maharaj, but does that mean Krishna will look different to all of us? And that led me on a trail of thought to say that does Krishna reveal himself through the devotees? And if so, how do we become attuned to pick up that? Like, how do we know when it's Krishna?
When we follow the path given to us by Srila Rupa Goswami, the Goswamis, and our founder Acharya, who gave us the perfect synthesis of all the teachings of the Acharya, and we hear and chant, there's a way in which we will develop a specific attraction to Krishna. Prabhupada mentions this in the fourth chapter of the Adi Lila, verse number 34, the second to the last paragraph, where he talks about how every devotee has a specific appreciating capacity for the Lord, and it gets developed in the process of bhakti that we're on now. And as Rupa Goswami explains it in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there's a way in which it's not necessarily our choice, it's Krishna's choice. There's a way in which he wants to be served by us also. And he extends himself to the devotee, and it comes into the devotee's mind as a specific attraction to Krishna. And it feels like the devotee's idea, but it's also simultaneously Krishna's idea to worship him in a particular way. And then that becomes manifested in the heart of the devotee who has a particular relationship with Krishna, or sthayi bhav, that's their steady or foundational relationship with Krishna. So it happens as Prabhupada quotes his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in the verse, Tannama Rupa Chadi Tadi Sukirtanano, that's Nectar of Instruction, verse in number 8, that it all unfolds by the process of hearing and serving in all the different ways. Chadita Adi, that means all the forms of devotional service. Did I answer your question? And also, just as a reference, you can look in Brahma's prayers in 10:14, and I can't remember which verse number it is, but it's somewhere around 6, that is mentioned Brahma saying to the Lord that your forms are unlimited, your qualities are unlimited, just as you can't count the numbers of stars or the number of grains of sand. You couldn't count all of Krishna's qualities. But even if you could, they would expand, and then you'd have to get a new calculator. So in the purport, Prabhupada describes how each one of these specific qualities that Krishna has is to reciprocate with the individual devotees. My name is Vaisheshika. Some people say, how'd you get that name? It comes from the root word Vishesha, which means specific. And it really refers to the fact that everything within Krishna's creation is specific and unique. And similarly, so is our relationship with Krishna. And you'll note with Prophet in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, when Gopa Kumar goes back to Godhead and he meets Krishna. Actually, Krishna runs to meet him. Krishna's just coming back from the forest at the end of the day, and Gopakumar has finally gone to Goloka. And by the way, it looks just like Boma Vrindavan. You can't tell the difference. And people are in ecstasy in different ways. And then Krishna's coming back from the forest. It starts to darken because of the clouds of the hooves of the cows. And then Krishna sees him in the clearing and recognizes him and runs to him. Away from all his friends and even Balaram, he runs ahead and he embraces his devotee, long-lost devotee, whose name, eternal name is Sarup. And in that section, Gopakumar, or Sarup, mentions that, I always knew that Krishna had affection for all his devotees, but I never knew how he had a specific affection for me. And so this is the pinnacle of our, understanding of personalism, that we have a very specific eternal relationship with Krishna, and it gets awakened through this practice of following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, specifically Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis. And when we do that, then we come to reunite with Krishna in that very specific way. Nirgul is laughing because I said I was going to give a short answer. That's why she's laughing. Okay, we have 1 minute left. No? Where's our judges? Okay, that's it. Thank you very much, everyone. Pardon me? Yeah, it's better to err on the side of cutting class early. Otherwise, then if somebody walks out, then it becomes like I deprived him of breakfast. But anyway, I just want to say probably this is likely the last class because we're leaving on Monday. But it's been an overwhelmingly heartening process or a stay here for Nirkula and me. Me or I? Yeah, for me. And thank you, everyone, for your enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. It's noticeable, and this is a very mighty yatra, and we feel edified by having your association here, and pray that you may conquer all obstacles and rise to the occasion of beating India. Yeah, try to beat India. Pick a Mayapur or Delhi, and then please, the manor and Soho may be combined. If you could do that, it would be really good for the world. The British especially are they're mighty. You should rise. Okay? Yes. Say yes. Yes. Not just Divyanam say yes, everyone say yes. Yes. Please, beat India. Okay?
Yes.
Come on, don't laugh. Just beat India.
Yes.
All right. Dear Srila Prabhupada, dear Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Sri Panchatattva, Sri Sri Radhagokula Nanda, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, if you so desire, please keep us steady on the path of bhakti as prescribed by our great acharyas, headed by Srila Prabhupada, so that we may come to know our very specific loving relationship with you. And may we distribute the knowledge to millions of people in the UK and beyond, so that they may resume their position in the spiritual world. Thank you for considering our request. Om Tat Sat. Everyone agrees with this prayer in whole or in part. Please unmute and say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Vanchakalpitavrishcha kripa sinave vacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha anantakoti vaishnavinikhi jai.